Bruce Jenkins. We look through the window of baseball with Bruce every weekend. It's one of the highlights. You just talk to anyone around the ballpark or listens on the radio. They love the perspective of Bruce Jenkins. He does it for Marvin Windows and Truitt & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, how are you today?
Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Well, they're still recovering from – I'll start with the parade. They never get old, and it's incredible the enthusiasm of the community, the love affair with the San Francisco Giants. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I think it would have been just as great and lively if the rain, you know, had never stopped. They would have the thing would have gone on, and you know, the fans undaunted by any obstacles. It was I haven't been able to watch the whole thing. We had a big Halloween deal last night and a lot of stuff going on. I'm a little bit about maybe a third of the way through it. I haven't gotten to the speeches yet, but it just was you know, typically great vintage Giants, vintage fandom, vintage parade.
Well, if you can fast forward when you get to Ed Lee.
Yeah, I was going to do that anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we love him. You know, he's very enthusiastic. He gives the key to the city, which I'm not sure what that can open. But he went on a little bit long. But it really was amazing. You know, Bruce, what I take from it was the heartfelt speeches by the players. I mean, just listening and this rejoinder that we just had, I don't know, there's just something about it. They open their hearts up. It sounds like they're real people talking.
Yeah, I think it's a time for them to really express what it means to go out to the park every single day with a packed house, all the excitement, you know, all the, you know, whatever the fans may be wearing and under their favorite players. Incredible enthusiasm. It's such a great scene, and it's so special. I think any ball player who's been around a while, like a guy like Hunter Pence who's passed through some organizations, and he gets here and sees all this, it's almost overwhelming. But these guys are, you know, they truly appreciate what they have, which is a good lesson for anyone in life who's going through a good stretch. You know, step back and really, really appreciate what's going on because it's very rare.
Yeah, they let their hair down. It wasn't Hunter Pence saying, "Well, I come to play every day. I don't look at next week's game. I'm going to look at today's game." Or Posey saying, "Well, you know, we do our best out here, and you know, that's it." Wasn't that? It was like real people showing their who they were, which I liked. Hey, so the World Series.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. You really will. So the World Series, Bruce, and you wrote a beautiful comp today, as you always do in the Three Dot Lounge. Bryant Sabian, and I said this week as well, Hall of Fame executive. Why not?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, really from the beginning, when he was working for the Yankees, the guys around that organization always made a point of mentioning Sabian's contribution, you know, building the team that went through such a great run from 96 to 01, you know, Jeter, Posada, and Rivera. He was instrumental in developing and signing some of those guys. And, it's a big-time job, working at that high a level for the Yanks. And he comes out here, and now he's got three World Series titles. He's got another World Series. He's got four other spots in the postseason. And I don't think he's ever had the best team. And he's just, he's ridden out the Bonds years, and you know, now that the draft picks are really coming through. I mean, any category, I think, that makes a great executive, I think he meets that criterion. He's, and as I mentioned, he's very well respected by the people who really know what's going on. And I just have to think that when his name comes up for consideration, and of course he's not done, that he's going to get in.
You know, no one's really done an exhaustive article on general managers of the Giants. And, you know, going back to Chubb Feeney, you know, and going forward to Speck Richardson, you know, or I don't know how many there have been in there. I'm probably overlooking somebody, but to Al Rosen. Al Rosen.
Yeah.
And was it Al Rosen to Sabian after that? I'm not sure. I'm blanking.
I think so.
I'm not sure if there's anybody in between.
I'm a little vague. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, me too. But what is from Al Rosen to Sabian? How lucky are the San Francisco Giants, the organization, to go from those two and to go back? You're covering over 30 years of close to 30 years of baseball.
Yeah, well, the great thing about those two guys is they're extremely competitive. I mean, we saw it from Al Rosen in his career. You know, he was a Jewish guy playing ball in the 50s. He was taking an awful lot of heat from idiot fans, and And he rose up as high as a man can rise, spiritually and in performance. And Sabian, you know, was a ball player too in his youth. He wasn't a major leaguer, but he's the guy never stops. I guarantee you he's got his nose to the grindstone right now in some way or another.
Bob Quinn. Bob Quinn.
Bob. Sorry, I forgot you there.
No, you know, the Quinn family, I mean, that's a legendary baseball family.
Great baseball family, yeah.
Yeah, it goes back to the old Phillies and Milwaukee Braves and all that. Yeah, Bob Quinn, I think is still with us. I don't see him around the park down in Arizona, but I think he's still alive.
Been quite a while. Very nice man.
Yeah, that was the legacy. And someone should actually do a little story on that, of the general managers of the San Francisco mm-hmm. Giants. Some organizations, you know, change them, you know, every 5 days. These guys have been pretty solid.
The Dodgers have like 8 of them right now.
Right.
They got Hunsicker and Coletti and Friedman, and they're still looking for a GM.
Right. How about that? How about Joe Madden ending up with the Cubs?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I know there's a big to-do about the, you know, the ethics of how this thing exactly went down. But as soon as he made himself available, the Cubs were in the number one, you know, option for him in the view of most baseball writers once the Dodgers ruled him out. So he was going to the Cubs, and, you know, he should go to the Cubs. He's put in so much time in Tampa Bay in that horrible park, zero attendance, trying to get by with a paltry, you know, salary and payroll and doing incredibly well, really, really extremely well. And it's time for him to move up to the big time. It absolutely is. And just in terms of resources, you know, the Cubs, you know, over this period of time when he was with Tampa Bay couldn't touch the Rays for performance or managing or anything else. But, you know, that's a team with an unbelievable amount of young talent. I mean, you know, Addison Russell, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Soler. I mean, it's on and on. And you know, they've got the resources. They've got you know, Epstein running the team, and I to me it's just a gold mine. I mean, it's obviously the greatest opportunity in baseball if you can get to the Cubs. I mean, forget winning the World Series. You can get them to the World Series would be an amazing thing. That's what he's going to try to do, and I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, the last World Series team was 1945. That's before I was born. So he'll tell you that. And he yeah. couldn't go to the Dodgers because the Dodgers wouldn't put up with him. You know, he has everybody dress up as Elvis Presley or Ringo Starr, you know, and he has all these things. Matt Kemp, would you please put on this wig for us here?
Yeah.
And everyone's going to wear a white jacket on the plane. No, they're not going to do that. He would never fit in with that. He couldn't have fit in there. So I think the whole thing, Madden to L.A., was never going to happen.
No, and aside from that sort of thing, I mean, it's not a great thing for any manager to walk into with the disparate personalities and the different agendas going on there. It's not a cohesive clubhouse by any means, and you know, you do have some gold mines there, notably Kershaw. But I agree. That wouldn't be the right place for him.
All right, finally, Bruce Bumgarner, and I love the article today, and you brought up all the names of the great World Series pitchers. Just your perspective on Bumgarner and what he did in this World Series.
Well, I mean, for you know, in terms of a guy who'd made two starts and then coming in relief in Game 7, there's a pretty good list there, which I tried to run down some of the names: Catfish Hunter and Smokey Joe Wood and
Allie Reynolds.
Allie Reynolds did it. He was routinely pitching relief for the Yanks in
yes,
the 50s.
He did.
Yeah, there were three different World Series he appeared in relief in very clutch fashion. But I was looking, when I was looking it up, I was looking for a guy who came in and really, more than relief, it was almost like a start. You know, Bumgarner went 5 innings. And I, you know, way back in 1924, the great Walter Johnson is 36 years old at that time. You know, comes up and pitches 4 innings after 2 starts, goes 4 innings in Game 7, gets the win. And then Bob Turley is really the standard because.
Yes.
He relieved Don Larson in 58 against the Braves in the third and went the rest of the way. He allowed only one run and got the win. But I tell you, though, Bumgarner, you know, just the numbers that he's putting up, the ERAs, the strikeouts per walks, you know, per inning, and just the presence out there. I mean, I well remember Sandy Koufax, and I remember him pitching on 2 days rest in 65 and Mickey Lolich, but you know, if you miss that, this is what it was like. And the thing I remember, Marty, somewhere in the middle of that appearance in Kansas City, I think he was maybe going into the eighth inning. He's really comfortable now, and I was watching him warm up, just snapping fastballs, you know, in his warm up pitches. I just shaking my head, going, God, this guy is just unbelievable. You know, he's you'd think he hadn't pitched in 8 days.
Yeah.
And boy, he just mowed down, and he mowed down everybody until Alex Gordon, and then he finished it off.
Yeah, and what I said also, and I agree with everything you said, is in his era, the batters he faced, he just completely took them apart, just like Koufax did or Gibson did. They were on their way to Hall of Fame careers when they did it, so that's a little more well-known. But what he did in his era to the people he faced, that's you just saw what Gibson did to the Red Sox, what Gibson did to the Yankees, what Burdett did to the Yankees, what Burkine did to the Red Sox in those days. Yeah. So that's what you saw. That's my feeling.
That's exactly what it was like. It was just like that. And, you know, if guys who've been around like us, we always tend to remember the old days as being better. But, no, this was exactly like that.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it was better. I mean, it was. I think that what really set it apart is that this doesn't happen these days. I mean, back then, if a guy said, I'm going on 2 days rest, it's like, all right, go get him, man. Great, you know. And now it's just so it's just unacceptable. And it's an incredible tribute to Bochy that he would get into this the spirit of this thing with Bumgarner, knowing this the individual, and letting him go the full five. It was brilliant. Just really amazing to watch.
Well, what a finish, too. What a season. I can't wait till we're sitting down there at the first exhibition game, where we'll be, sitting in the sun in Glendale, looking out at the Giants-Dodgers, and you'll look at me, and I'll look at you, and I'll say, what do we got? And I'll say, who knows? I'm not sure.
It'll be Bumgarner will be pitching to Puig, and
here we go.
All will be right with the world, yeah. I tell you, the one thing about the Giants, and I've always tried to point this out talking to you, is that they've got tremendous character on the team, and that's been the case this entire run. It's going to be the case next year, and boy, that sure goes a long way, and it makes the fans feel pretty secure about what's going to happen.
Yeah, boy, thanks, Bruce. I love you, and I love doing these segments with you every weekend. The fans love it, and I can't wait to see you in spring training, and we'll sit there and say, wait a minute, who's on their bench? They don't have a bench.
Believe me, Marty, it's been a privilege all year.
Yeah.
It really is. It's an honor to be on with you, and I greatly look forward to more next year.
Yeah, we will. Thanks, Bruce. Have a good time.
You bet.
All right, that's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Wow. Every weekend, and holidays, the whole thing. Best thing we do. It really is.